It's lovely to be back with the Saints here at Up Hill Street. As David was just saying, just 2 weeks later, it's a pleasure to be here. And I thank you for the invitation. I'll never pass up an invitation to tell people what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. As we've just been singing, you're looking at a born again man, somebody who's had a second birthday. And my first birthday, just a couple of days ago, I was 31. So I'm well into my 30s now. However, that's not the most important birthday. The most important birthday was when I was born again. And that's what, with God's help, I intend to talk to you about this evening. I intend to talk to you about my conversion story, as some may call it. I would call it a conversion reality, something that's real, something that has happened, something that has changed in me. And just at the outset, before I do say any more about my own conversion story, I'd like to say it's quite a radical story. I've had feedback from people that it's a very encouraging story. However, the story in and of itself is not necessarily the most important thing. The fact is that I've been saved. That is the most important thing. And it doesn't matter how you come to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what your story is. What matters is that you come with a heart of repentance and put your faith in the living Saviour. That's what matters. So if we could open up our Bibles this evening, I want to start at Matthew chapter 24. This is one of the most precious portions of Scripture to me, because the Lord used this portion of Scripture to start my walk with Him. Start me to seeking after Him, and I'll explain a bit more of this later. I just want to read from verse number 1 down to verse number 8. I'm not intending to explain the passage so much, other than to say the Lord Jesus Christ here is talking to His disciples about what will happen in the last days, what will happen in the end times. A time which we are in, and a time which is running out. We are coming down to the last days. We are coming down to the days where the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And I hope, with God's help, that as I go through my story, you'll find it clear as to why this was so compelling to me as an unsaved person. So in verse number 1, it says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for Him to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And we know this prophecy was fulfilled in the year 70 AD as Titus and the Roman army destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And we trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of His word. Now, I'll come back to this portion of Scripture shortly, but I just want to start off with my earlier life. An earlier life, the life before the life that I live now. The Bible says that we should train up the child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, that he shall not depart from it. Now, I cannot say as a child that I was trained up in the ways of God. I was not. That's a simple fact of the matter. I was not trained up in the way that we should go. I did not know anything about the Scriptures. And this is the most important thing that we can understand about this little saying here. There is one way, and that way is found in the Bible. And I knew nothing of this. As a young child growing up and as a young adult growing up, I didn't know anything of the way. I didn't know anything of what the Bible said. And that led me into gross sin. It led me to a point where I had no answers to life whatsoever. It led me to a point where I didn't even want the answers to life, to be honest with you. I didn't know anything about anything, really. I knew what they taught me in school, I knew what they taught me in college and at university, but really I didn't have any answers to the big questions of life. Not even one. However, that does not leave me, or did not leave me, without any excuses. The Bible says that we still do not have excuses, even if we're not trained up in these ways, even if we don't understand everything that the Bible has to say about the gospel, everything that the Bible has to say about sin, suffering, repentance, heaven, hell, the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it talks about in the Bible. If we don't know those things, then we still don't have an excuse. But the Bible says this: for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, or we can, in the context of what the Apostle Paul is talking about, did not have the scriptures, the Bible, the knowledge that the Jews had, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Each one of us has a conscience. We all know the difference between right and wrong. And as I was growing up and I was going through my life, I still knew the difference between right and wrong. I can still remember the first big lie that I told. I can still remember what that felt like when I told that lie. I lied to my mother. I was about 5 or 6 years old. And she said to me, "Don't ever go up to that shop. You play on the street here, outside your house. Play here." And me and Tom Kidd, what did we do? We got some money one day, and we went right up to that shop. Completely disobeyed my mother, went right up to that shop. Came back down with a big bag of sweets, not expecting her to say anything. Of course, she did say something. "Where did you get those sweets from?" And I proceeded to lie to her. Proceeded to lie, come up with so many different stories. Said that somebody else went up to get them, and of course she knew that I was lying. Mothers know. Mothers know when a little 5-year-old or a 6-year-old is lying. And I knew it was wrong, and this went on for about 2 weeks, and eventually I got to the point where I had to tell her the truth, because my conscience bore witness to the fact that I knew I was lying. Now this was the first of many sins which I committed, knowing that I was doing wrong. And as I went through school, and I went through college, and I went through university, I built up a mindset which was so damaging, because I did not have the knowledge of the truth. I did not understand the Bible. I did not understand I was a sinner. I did not understand I needed to be saved. I did not understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for my sins. And I did not understand that by simple faith in him, I could be saved. So I had a different mindset to all this. I had something completely different going on. And when I was going through school and college and university, my mindset was that it was important to be popular. It was important to be liked by other people. These were the important things in life. It was important to be accepted by the world. It was important to know that other people liked me, and to know that I was good in their sight. And throughout all this, I came up with so many different ideas as to how I could obtain favor with human beings. That's really what I was trying to do. I was trying to obtain favor through human beings and trying to find peace in that. And there's no peace in that. There's no peace in that, whatever. Because it led me to this point. I had a complete obsession with money. And a complete obsession with money. I decided that, well, I wasn't going to be the best looking, and I wasn't going to be the funniest, and I wasn't going to be this, and I wasn't going to be that, as I saw other people being. But I knew that if I had money, or I thought, if I had money, I would have power. Therefore, if I had power, people would like me and would come to me. And the Bible says this: the love of money is the root of all evil. All evil. And I was willing to do a lot for money. I was willing to do a lot for money. I came out and I started working in sales and I started earning a lot of money. And I realized quite quickly that that money wasn't making me happy. That this idea that I created in my own mind, it wasn't fulfilling me. It wasn't doing what I thought it was going to do. I had this idea in my mind that if I started earning a lot of money and I'd be able to buy things and lord it over people and show people that I was the one who was powerful, I was the one who was in control, I was the one making the decisions, that then I'd be happy. But I wasn't. I had no peace, had no satisfaction, nothing whatsoever that I thought was going to happen actually came to pass. And I was lost. I was lost at this point. I was completely and utterly lost. And then I made a terrible decision. I thought to myself, well, it's not money. It's not money. That's not the answer. What I need is to be in control of my own life. That's really what I needed. I needed to be in control of my own life. And the fact that I was working 9 to 5 for a man and that he was telling me that I had to come in at this time and leave at that time, I can have that much lunch, that was the problem. That was the problem. Wasn't earning money, that was the problem. I needed to live for myself. I needed to do what I thought was right. So I went back to my old school friends. Many of them have been drug dealers ever since we left school. And I started selling drugs with them. And I thought that this was going to make me happy. And when I quit that job, I was earning enough money from selling drugs, I was able to quit that job. And I thought, yes, this is the day. Now I'm in control of my own life. Now I'm the god of my own life. This is going to be good. But of course it wasn't. And why wasn't it good? Why wasn't it good? Because I still hadn't answered any questions that I had, which we talked about at the start. I didn't have any answers to the big questions of life. I was still lost. I want you to ask yourself these questions this evening, because these are the questions that I started asking myself around this time. As I was going deeper and deeper into sin, and I was getting closer and closer to death, and I still had no answers to these three questions. Where did I come from? I.e., where did the human race come from? What am I doing here? And where am I headed? I want you to ask yourself, are you lost? Because if you can answer those three questions and be sure about it, you are not. But if you cannot answer those three questions, that is the definition of somebody who's lost. They don't know how they got here, they don't know what they're doing here, and they don't know where they're going. And those thoughts absolutely terrified me. And that's why I was living the life that I was living. Because I was trying to cram so much in to this finite amount of time that I had. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It means we're going to get paid in death for our sins. It means that we have a timeline in this world to live. And then therefore, if you don't have the answers to why am I here, what am I supposed to be doing here, and where am I going, you're going to try and cram as much as you possibly can of your own mindset into this life. And that's what I was doing. The problem is this, that lust bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. So as I was sinning more and more, as I was going deeper and deeper into this life, I was just getting closer and closer to that death that I did not want. I knew I didn't want it. So I was committing a lot of sin. I was committing a ton of sin. And I was stuck. I was lost. I had no hope. None whatsoever. Everyone who tried to speak certain things into my life, everyone who tried to tell me that this was the way, that was the way, I used to listen to it and think, no, that doesn't sound like it. That doesn't sound like that's for me. Some things I got caught up in, some things I didn't. But I want to tell you, at that point in my life, whatever I was caught up in, whatever I was doing, there was one sin that was more fatal than any other sin. And it's the thing that I started out with discussing this evening. It's the sin of unbelief. I didn't have any knowledge of who Christ was. I didn't believe in him. I didn't care about him. That's the honest truth. I was off on my own way. I was going my own way. The Bible says, "And I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." That is a terrifying prospect for any person. To die in your sins is the most terrifying thing that can happen to a human being. In Luke chapter 16, there's a story of a rich man and a beggar called Lazarus. Now we believe that, and I believe what a lot of commentators say about this passage, that this is a true story that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. For he gives the beggar a name, Lazarus, which he wouldn't do if this wasn't a true story. And he talks about how this rich man had no time for the things of God. He had no understanding of the scriptures. He wasn't saved. He hadn't believed. He was too caught up in his riches. He was too caught up in his life. He was too caught up in what he thought was right. That was me. That was me. And it says about this rich man that when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. I can only imagine the terror that flooded into his soul at that point. He must have thought, "Oh no, what have I done?" And then he proceeds to try and undo what he's done in this story. Proceeds to cry out to Abraham and ask him for his help, and ask him to be taken away from this place that he's in, and ask him for his family to be saved. But there's no chance. When you pass from life to death, if you lift up your eyes in hell, that's it. That's it. No going back. And that's the position I was in. That is the position that I was in. But this is when the Lord stepped in. As I was drug dealing, I had a lot of spare time on my hands. And I used to be big into conspiracy theories. Now, I don't recommend getting into conspiracy theories at all. It's a waste of time. There might be some truth in it, but you can't actually know what's truth and what's not, and therefore there's no point in it. Truth is found in the Bible. Stick with the Bible, you'll be okay. But the Lord took those conspiracy theories, and I don't know if you know anything about YouTube or the way that the YouTube algorithms work. The YouTube algorithm, what it will do is it will recommend certain videos after you've watched a certain video, and it will kind of guide your passage through your viewing onto YouTube. And the Lord took hold of those YouTube algorithms, and he took me from conspiracy theories to Bible prophecy, specifically end time Bible prophecy. Specifically, Matthew 24 that we was reading before at the outset of this meeting. And what I learned from these YouTube videos, from these ministries, from these Christians who were talking about the end times of the Bible, is the Bible is more than a book. The Bible predicts the future. The Bible has predicted the future roughly about 2,000 times so far. There's about 500 other predictions which are going to come true at the end of time. And these predictions and this truth, which I was seeing right in front of me, immediately started giving me some answers to what is life about? Where did I come from? Where am I heading? It immediately started answering those questions. And therefore, I was looking at this and I was thinking, wow, there are some answers out there, because there is an answer out there. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the answer to the problems that we face today in this world. Always has been, always will be. Always has been, always will be. This was a life-changing moment for me. This was a life-changing moment. We're singing in our hymns today, to be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. I wasn't born again at this point, but this was a life-changing moment for me. It put me on that path. It put me on a path to being born again. And over the course of the period of time, as I was looking more and more into the Bible, I realized two things. I realized that God is real. God exists. He's not just some man up in the sky. He's not just a figment of people's imagination. He's the creator. He's the Almighty. He's the one who made heaven and earth. And he's the one who's in control. This world might seem like it's out of control, but it's not. What studying Bible prophecy showed me is that it's all just falling right into place according to how the Bible said it would happen. That's why the Bible's so important. So I realized that God exists, and I realized that I was a gross sinner. I realized that I was damned. And I tell you, that same dread that came over the rich man in hell came over me. I thought that every time I stepped out of the house, I thought, if I drop dead now, I'm going to wake up in hell. I couldn't shift the feeling. Now, that made me quite fearful. I think when I was here 2 weeks ago, I said these words, and I'll say them again. Fear is not your enemy. Fear is your friend, because fear warns you of what's coming. And that's what was happening in my life. There was this warning sign going off that God exists and I'm a sinner and I need to be made right with him. Now the Bible's very helpful here. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So again, as I said at the outset of this meeting, my story might be quite radical, but it doesn't matter. One lie is one lie too many to enter into heaven. One lie. Doesn't matter how much sin you've committed, Jesus can forgive it all.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how little sin you've committed, you're still a sinner. And that's who I was, and I recognised that. And I went through this time of repentance. Went through about 7 or 8 or 9 months of praying to God, asking him to forgive my sins, crying out to the Lord. And we see scriptural evidences of things like this happening in believers' lives in the scriptures. We think of King David in Psalm 51, when he committed a gross sin in stealing somebody else's wife off them. And he recognized his sin and he came before the Lord and he was broken for his sin. And I was broken by my sin. I was broken by it. It consumed my thoughts that I was a sinner and I had no way of getting rid of this thought and this feeling. And I was trying to do it in my own strength. I would pray to God every single day, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. 8 or 9 months this went on for, And that's not how you get saved. Doing it in your own strength. But I'll tell you something, I was seeking after God. That's what I was doing at this point. Something had changed. It wasn't just looking into stuff. It wasn't just a casual thing anymore. I was truly seeking after God. Might have been doing it in the wrong way, but I was truly seeking after him. And the Bible says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now, that last bit I didn't understand when I was in this moment in my life. I didn't understand that he was near. He seemed very far away. He was very near. He's very near to each one of us tonight, and he can be sought. But you need to have a heart to seek him. And if that dread and that fear of hell comes upon you tonight, seek the Lord. That's what I did. And I went on and on in this cycle of seeking. On and on and on. And one day, a small, still voice, just this thought so strong in my head, came across my thought process as I was praying. I'd been listening to a bit of preaching by this point. I sort of moved off conspiracy theories, I moved off just end time stuff. I was listening to good old fashioned Bible preaching, people talking about sin, people talking about the need for repentance, people talking about salvation. And it was all starting to make a bit more sense. And then one day in prayer, this clear as day thought came to me, you need to trust in what I've already done. And in that moment, I transferred my trust from myself to the Saviour. I still knew I was a sinner, I still knew I needed to be saved, but the difference was I wasn't hoping in myself to be saved anymore. I knew that Christ died on the cross for me. I knew that he shed his precious blood for me. I knew regardless of how many sins I've committed, he can forgive even me. And in that moment, there was a burden lifted off me. A burden lifted off me, and I was transferred from death to life, from darkness to light, from hell to heaven. I was destined for hell. I was destined. I'd bought 1,000 first-class tickets, and I was flying down to hell. And that's where everyone's heading. That's where we're heading by default. That's our default position. We need to put our faith in Christ. We need to come to him in repentance and put our faith in Christ to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of heaven. That's what needs to happen. And if you're not saved today, I implore you today to think about this. As I said at the outset, this is not just a story. It's not just a miraculous story of how, you know, my life has changed. My life has changed, and I thank God for that. But God stepped into my life, showed me that I was a sinner, showed me that Christ died for me, and saved my soul. Saved my soul. Each one of us, we have an eternal soul. And Christ has saved mine. I thank him for it today. Because when he went to that cross, he didn't just go for me. He went for the whole world. And the salvation is offered to each one of us today. That's why when he was nailed to the cross, he was nailed with arms wide open. And he says to those in the audience tonight, and he said it back then, 2,000 years ago, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. And I was heavy laden. I had a lot of sin, but he has given me rest. He's given me peace. And he's the only one who can give you that peace. I've looked in the world, believe me. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm not going to go into detail because I don't believe it's right to go into detail and to talk about the thing of darkness. But I've gone to the best parties in the world. I've hung around with what the world would term as the best people. I've been here, I've been there, I've done everything. Anything you can think of, I've probably done it. Taking drugs, sold drugs, whatever. I'm telling you, nothing gives you peace other than a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing. I've tried it all. And then one day I tried Christ, and I found that he was good. And he is good. And just to finish, when he talks about the end times here in Matthew 24, you turn over to Matthew 25, and there's a time where he's coming back. The end of that chapter is a time where he's coming back, and that time is going to be soon. And he's going to come back and he's going to judge this world. And if you're not ready for when he returns, then that is not going to be a good day for you. I look forward to his coming now, because he's placed me on the right side of history. There's a hymn and it goes like this. I'm on the winning side, I'm on the winning side. No more in sin shall I abide. He's the keeper, He's the keeper of my soul since I gave him control. And he placed me on the winning side. And he has done tonight. I trust this will bless you. I'll pass on to David and he can give us another hymn to sing.